Item one, from the Chief Financial Officer, Milwaukee Public Museum, submitting quarterly financial updates. This item is also considered by the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit, and is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Burnett, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Appreciate everybody being here on this frigid morning. I'm here just to provide a quarterly update, and in this case it happens to be a report that includes the end of our fiscal year. The museum's fiscal year ends on August 31st, and of course then we go through an external audit process, and the results of that are included in your packet. The museum, obviously we went through a lot of changes this last year with the good support of the county and the members of this community. As you know, we worked through changes in the lease and management agreement that included contributions from the county to our pension plan for former county employees, as well as us raising $4.5 million in commitments to pay off the museum's outstanding debt. All of that ended up resulting in $19.2 million of revenue being recognized for the museum this year, and a bottom line change in net assets of $8.7 million. All that's very positive for our financial picture. When you look at our balance sheet now, the debt is down. The remaining liabilities that we have for retiree medical and insurance and sick is down. And our net assets, I can speak from having, when first came here, we were all nearly negative $10 million in 2006, and now we're at a positive $18 million. So we've improved the museum's financial picture, which hopefully success breeds success, and donors who may have been sitting on the sidelines to see whether or not the museum was going to survive or fail are now going to be comfortable that the museum is in there for the long haul. So if you have any specific questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple questions. One is, has Mr. Williams left? Is he actually gone? I know that he announced his retirement, and what is his status?
No, unfortunately, he's traveling today and couldn't be here. But Jay continues to be leading the museum. He's there every day, except when he's traveling. The process is underway to find a successor. There's a committee that's been appointed, and they are reviewing candidates. The expectation is that we would find someone to replace Mr. Williams at about the time of our annual meeting, which occurs in late February.
Okay.
So until that time, Mr. Williams will continue to lead the museum.
Very good. Another question, Mr. Chairman, and that I want to talk about the 3D projection system, which is the fourth paragraph down. Can you talk? It looks like you had some issues as far as getting it started. What the status is? Why did we have those issues? And how do you see us going forward?
Well, let me give a little bit bigger picture. The theater and planetarium now has three different projection capabilities. We have our old IMAX system, which we've purchased and still runs the big IMAX films, but that is a dying technology. And we also had a digital planetarium capability installed several years ago that still continues to serve and will continue to serve. What we were missing in the mix is what we're moving towards over time is a full digital capability. This 3D system was the first step in that process. Quite frankly, there were technical issues with the way they were trying to project the images on the dome, which are a little more difficult than onto a flat screen. And those are the problems that we ran into initially, which delayed the installation. Those problems have been rectified, and the system is now functioning very well. The issue that we've got now is to make sure that the public knows that we have all this great visual technology and that they'll come and see the shows.
Right, and it says here an outside consultant is reviewing the local market and MPM's theater operations, which will result in recommendations for approving attendance. Do you have anything to add on that? We're running 3D films now, right?
As part of the mix. We're running planetarium shows, 3D films, and as well IMAX films.
Okay. And how are we promoting? I mean, how does someone, the public, because we're not in the daily newspaper, okay, how does the word get out as to, you know, what we're showing?
Well, we do advertise on the radio, WUWM. Maybe you've heard the commercials if you're listening to public radio. There have been others. Quite frankly, from the standpoint of the experts, they're suggesting that as far as the best thing to do is to be advertising the museum itself, uh-huh, and the theater as being part of the experience of coming to the museum rather than trying to be promoting your theater like somebody at the mall would. We do best with our theater when our theater showings meld with what we're doing programmatically in the museum. For example, with Body Worlds coming up, we have the human body IMAX film, and we'll also have a digital film on the human body that will be options for the public to be able to say, okay, we're going to the museum, we're going to see Body Worlds, and we're going to take in this film or this digital show. So that's when things work the best.
Sure, and I understand that. I guess what I'm looking at is extra revenue or extra attendance, not so much for the museum, but for the theater itself, by having maybe early evening at 7 p.m. or whatever, things for young adults, be it 18 to 40-ish or whatever. It would seem to me that, and I'm not saying that group doesn't necessarily do in the museum, okay, but, you know, I'm not sure. I think that if we've got this wonderful theater, we should exploit the heck out of it and bring in other people that wouldn't necessarily come to the museum. And I would think that off hours, maybe having some concerts that are in 3D or whatever, would bring in a different market, and that's, I don't know what your consultant is saying as far as the local market or whatever, but, and I would be, this person is interested, I'd be willing to just sit down with this person and just shoot the breeze and say, you know, have we thought of this? Have we thought of that? I mean, not that I have the answers, Mr. Chairman, but it would seem to me that it makes sense. You know, the museum is wonderful. It's got all these exhibits. But let's be honest here. You can only go to the museum so often, okay? I've done that numerous times, you know, and it's outside of the special exhibits, it's going to be the same things. You know, you're going to have Old World Milwaukee, you know, that's not changing. Okay, so you've this investment in this huge theater with all of these different capabilities. I'd like to see us try to exploit it.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments by committee members? Supervisor Stanford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor Rakowski is asking the questions that I had. However, I want to expound on the outside consultant. Was that part of the agreement as far as the delay is concerned?
Right. There's.
So because of the delay, they said they were going to go to the local market and try to bring in more business.
Yeah, there was multiple aspects to finalizing the agreement with the system provider.
Okay, so how long was the delay, and do you know how much money we projected lost, or how many visitors we lost?
We were originally supposed to open October 1st. We didn't really get open until mid-February. I think we probably lost about 10,000 people per month during that period of time.
Really?
And you could multiply that by, you know, $5 a head, roughly. To
okay, so it's a pretty significant amount. And so, who is this outside consultant?
His name is Toby Mensforth and Associates. He's done a lot of work all over the country, including with the Smithsonian. We started conversations over the summertime. Things got put on hold a little bit while we got through the year end and all the changes in the lease and management agreement. And right now, those conversations are continuing. So I expect to have some results out of that, hopefully before the end of the calendar year.
Okay, his name is Tony who?
Mensforth.
Okay, and he's going to bring you back to what he's done and how he's, went to the local market?
Yeah, we
talking about, is he talking about Milwaukee or Rakowski said, surrounding areas?
The surrounding metro area, mostly. I mean, we draw obviously from all over the state and neighboring states, but the bulk of the traffic is obviously coming from the metro.
Okay, how do you spell his last name?
Mensforth, Mensforth.
And it's totally that was a little too fast for me.
Mensforth.
Okay. And what's his expertise?
Museum theaters.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Burnett. Thank you for joining us once again. I've been glancing at the numbers over the past week or so since we've had them. And I was curious how you're seeing memberships trending, so even over the long term, not just this year versus same quarter last year. But I'm interested to know if the museum is experiencing any kind of change in the number of memberships, ongoing memberships, and what sorts of support you're looking for, not necessarily restricted to gifts. I know gifts are really important for any organization such as MPM. One example I'm thinking of on that, Mr. Burnett, is the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra is now facing some dire circumstances, which seems to have been based partially, at least partially, on their reliance on these big gifts, winning these gifts. So what I'm getting to, sir, is how's it looking for you operationally? So memberships and operational income versus expense.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and supervisors. It's a great question. The issue is, when you look at the museum, Mr. Williams likes to liken it to the farmer now who, in a way, has his farm paid off, but you still have to have the daily operations to buy the seed to plant the, to get the next year's crop in. When you look at our situation, ideally we'd like to have 3 to 6 months worth of cash reserves in place. We've been typically operating at less than 30 days worth of cash reserves for operating cash, not restricted cash for other things, but true day-to-day, what you can use to pay the light bill with. So, the three big areas that generate those operating dollars to support the building and the collection and running the museum operation, obviously, is the support that we get from the county. Fundraising, we end up about roughly in the neighborhood of $4 million a year in annual campaign gifts, which includes memberships. And then all of our, the third leg of that stool is the earned revenue streams that we get from ticket sales and selling food and stuff in the gift shop. So, but specifically on memberships, I think there is a general issue, not just with the museum, but we know with other nonprofits who have membership arrangements that people are struggling. It's generally memberships are down, and so in general, the museum operates typically in the 18 to 20,000 household range for memberships. So not people, but households. So we've tried to put together packages that would hopefully enhance memberships and as well hopefully enhance the use of the theater. This year, for the first time, we've put together a membership package that includes unlimited use of the theater as part of the package. You know, obviously, if you've got people from out of town, it's a great value to be able to come in and use that. But it's that is a challenge for us because it is typically memberships provide somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million to $1.5 million of revenue for us each year, and out of that $4 million of annual campaign. So it's an important piece.
And how did the had a summer the summer pass? Mm-hmm. How's that fared for you?
Well, we I'm sorry, I don't have the numbers at my fingertips here. We did a summer pass, and it was successful from the standpoint of I'm thinking it generated somewhere in the neighborhood of 60,000-ish over the summer of additional revenue for the museum.
Okay. So that'd be in the summertime. And is the summertime usually your slowest period at MPM?
Well, generally it's been more towards the fall, towards the September, October, when all the schools have restarted, but nobody's doing field trips yet. it's generally been.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll make sure to renew our membership, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Supervisor Rainey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Mr. Burnett. I, like my colleagues, am excited about the new visual technology. I just wanted to learn a little bit about what type of programs you're running and what is the process of determining what programs will be run at the theater.
We have a theater director, Bob Bonader, who is in general in charge of that. Bob works with the rest of the staff to try, as I say, link what we're providing with what else is going on in the museum, if at all possible. Right now, we had a program put together that goes with our Scoop on Poop exhibit, but it's on space junk. So, if you can get the tie between those,
I got you.
but obviously, what we're showing is more educational or documentary type programming. We're not putting on the Hollywood kinds of stuff that you would see in the local theaters. We have a arrangement with National Geographic, a partnering arrangement with them, exclusivity over the next 4 years, that they're producing new content, at least two new film contents each year that we then come to us and we have to be able to show to the community on an exclusive basis.
You said the director's name was Bob?
Bob Bonader.
Bonader.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Other questions by committee members? Supervisor Stanford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What month was that when we discussed what you guys were going to do with the Discovery World area? What's going on with that?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, supervisors, as you know, we talked about the fact that we've got this old Discovery World building that's been vacant since 2006, that's been tagged on to the side of the museum. We had a donor step forward and provide funding that would allow us to buy the building from Discovery World. I'm happy to report that transaction has completed as of a week ago. So at this point, the facility is officially in the hands of MPM, and right now we're using it for temporary storage of items that we have.
Okay. Do you know the square footage?
Yeah, it's a 40,000 square foot building, 4 floors, 10,000 per floor.
4 floors, 10,000. Okay. Did they leave anything?
Nope. Not at all. No, there wasn't anything to leave.
Your stash is on the third floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Burnett, I'm very happy to hear that the Discover World transaction has gone through, as you say. Excellent. I was also curious about that. Just to check on one thing, then, Mr. Burnett, several years ago, county moved some departments into the city campus building on a temporary basis. And it was supposed to be temporary, and they're still there several years later. Does MPM have a solid plan for the long-term use of the Discover World space? Or is it now, if in fact storage is the plan, I think that could be acceptable. You know, is this in the cards for you guys?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. The another great question. The plan, the long-term plan at this point is to eventually raise enough money as part of our capital campaign, essentially to be able to take down most of that building and create a whole new entrance on James Lovell Street for the museum. And that will that's a substantial project. We believe it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 to $5 million. Obviously it would take time for us to raise that kind of money, and in the interim we are using it as storage space and not occupying it for offices or that sort of thing. But at this point, that's what's being planned.
Okay. Well, I know your team isn't going to let it sit beyond how you need it to. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions by committee? Mr. Burnett, I think it's fair to say that you and Mr. Williams deserve a good share of the credit for the financial turnaround that you've cited. Along with, I think, the administration and the board itself in doing everything we've been able to do under the circumstances, as tight fiscally as things have been, to keep our culturals healthy and functioning. And I certainly hope that's recognized by the Association of Commerce as it begins its program to build a basketball arena, presumably at public expense, while also attempting to assist the culturals in their continuing battle to survive. But your contributions to that, and Mr. Williams, if you pass that on to him, are very much appreciated.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
I just want to ask a follow-up. Are you and Mr. Williams on the team to look for the new CEO? Because you mentioned a team that was searching for a new CEO, right?
Mr. Williams is leading that committee. I'm not on the committee. But I will be interviewing candidates as part of the senior management team when we eventually reach that point.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one quick question before we move on. Mr. Bernance, just for clarification, the financial statements that you've provided, those are accrual or cash basis?
Accrual.
And have you always been on accrual basis?
Yes, we have.
Okay. And how often are your financial statements audited?
Annually.
And that's at the end of the August fiscal year?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I might might add that we've had clean audits since I've gotten here.
Since you've been here. Yes. That's why you're here.
I'm sorry? 2005.
It's been a long road.
Yes, how long have you been?
Before dirt.
Thank you very much again.
Thank you.
Thank you, members.
That item is informational. No need for action. Item number two, please.